Don't do this at home, kids.
Hey now.
Hey now.
I'm not a pheasant fucker. I'm a pheasant fucker son. I'm only fucking pheasants until the pheasant fucker comes.
The pheasant fucker, fucking pheasant fucker. Shall he sell, she shall stumble. That's sure.
That's what happens when you fuck it up. it's funny because I'm on the side with no leg room because I've been meaning to flip this desk for a very long time.
Right.
And I'm the tall one and you're the short one and you have all the leg room. And
I need all the leg room.
I'm literally set up,
crush my balls when I close my legs.
You keep your fucking face close to that microphone. Sorry. Roll in. You have all the leg room for a reason.
Okay.
Apparently.
Oh, roll in, like choke up on this thing?
There you
like,
go.
Like so?
Yeah. I mean, you don't got to like suck its dick or anything. But
I don't do that anyway. That's not on the first date.
That's close enough.
Is that close enough?
Fucking that. Anyway. All right. I'm just going to do this thing.
Do it.
All right. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of the Beyond the Check podcast, where I talk about all things service industry related and whatever the hell else I feel like talking about it. I am Rashawn Parker, and I have with me in studio today one of my best friends for a very, very long time. We've made movies together, we have lived together, we've cooked together, we've fought together, we have loved and cried together, we have done a lot of things together. But before I introduce him, if you haven't, please go watch my television show, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV, Fox's Tubi TV, it's free TV. Awesome chef owners, go check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Blake Feldman.
That was an amazing introduction. I'm blown away by how great you are as a host right now.
I just turn it on or off. That's what we do.
It's pretty awesome.
Anyway, welcome. Fun facts. Once upon a time, I used to live with him, and now he lives with me.
Yes, I am the mooch right now.
It's funny because we've been through these cycles where like we were like, okay, so let's get a couple things out of the way. We are both Arieses. We mm-hmm. were born 14 days apart.
14 days, yeah.
Yeah. And you're
7 days apart. You were 14 days from
I'm in the middle.
Yeah, you're in the middle.
Right. We're 7 days apart.
Yeah.
7 days and 7 years exactly. We were born apart.
Crazy.
Right. And we both went to grad school for film.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Where Sean told me to never write again.
He's a good producer, ladies and gentlemen. So I didn't do that introduction part. Also a producer, filmmaker, bar owner, bartender.
Now just bar operator.
Now bar operator. I've done a lot of things, done some things, made a feature film. We'll get to all that. But yeah, so we both graduated. You graduated before me because you like graduated a quarter early.
I think I took the faster path of just the Master of Arts. I think you did a real master's.
Oh, I have the BFA. You have the BA.
No, you have the MFA and I have the
MA. Oh, right. The MFA. Right. Master's. Yeah. I also have
you're the MF and A.
Right. I got the F.
Yeah.
You skipped over the F.
I skipped over the F.
You just, okay.
Because it just makes you qualified to teach college. And I said, I don't want to teach these kids. They don't want to do their homework to begin with.
I mean, I thought about it, but.
It is a good backup plan. But I wasn't really ever one for backup plans, as you can tell. Because I'm in your guest room right now.
So, you were waiting tables right after you graduated.
Which time?
Well, from grad school, right after we graduated.
I think I was trying to wait tables, and I think I was working as a roadie. Like,
you were doing two things.
I was a roadie for like $10 an hour, $12 an hour.
Setting up lights for events and shit, right?
Yeah, we did Michael Franti and Spearhead. That was really cool.
But then you were also like waiting some tables and...
Yeah, I was waiting tables. It was miserable. You know, like no matter how much...
Was that the first time you ever waited tables?
No, definitely
no,
not.
No, what was the first service job you ever had? That was
for sure the last time.
Bartending's so much more fun.
Yeah. They made me a bartender there eventually, but it was even worse than waiting tables there, which makes no sense.
Well, it was super fine dining. You worked at a very fine dining restaurant.
Yes, you end up being the service bar, and that's just what happens. You just serve everybody, and you know.
Serve the servers.
Serve the
servers. Serve the servers. Oh, no.
Is that a... musical?
It's Nirvana. but it's serve the servants. And okay. I change it to serve the servers.
I just like, I'm hungry.
What was your first job in like a restaurant or anything?
So I worked in an old age facility in a retirement home when I was 13, washing dishes.
Oh.
And I worked my way up to server.
By in the old people home?
14 or 15. Yeah. I even did happy hour for the Alzheimer's unit, which we called Azalea. And I would come in with my guitar and sing to them for the happy hour. But, you know.
Were they serving alcohol or like?
They get one drink.
They get one drink.
Oh, but Miss Fran always tried to sneak a second and third. She tried to tip me and be like, don't tell anybody.
But all the Metamucil they wanted, right?
All the Metamucil you could drink.
But one alcoholic drink.
You know, they have this button when they fall and they can't get up, right? And they have CNAs there. So there's one around their neck that they wear if they're like in a special unit. But they would always call me when they would drop them out of the bed. I'm like, why couldn't you catch him before he fell?
Like, aren't they around their neck? Well, shouldn't they sleep with them on?
But if they need help getting into their, you know, wheelchair or walker or something, shouldn't they be helped out of bed? Like, they should like never get out of bed without assistance at that point.
Well, one would think. So they had like a full restaurant, like in the old people home?
Yes. We had a full restaurant. We had characters like, there's this one guy named Jerry Lewis. He always says he sold his name to the real Jerry. He said, I'm the real Jerry Lewis. And he would run down the hallway.
Maybe he was Jerry Lewis.
No. Oh, no, not Jerry Lewis. Sorry. Tom Jones.
Oh, Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones is still alive.
No, but the original Tom Jones sold his name to him. It ain't unusual to be loved. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was Tom Jones the name, not really Tom Jones?
No, it wasn't. He bought it off Tom Jones that I knew.
Oh, that's a real story?
It's a real story.
So what was Tom Jones's real name?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Bummer.
Yeah.
We should totally know that.
We should know that. Yeah, but so this old age home was the first time.
So were they good tippers?
You know, we didn't make tips. So like no matter what service you gave, like it didn't matter. None of it mattered. You served the same.
They weren't going to remember anyway.
That was just the Alzheimer's unit. When you serve the main dining hall, like everyone's there. They don't all have Alzheimer's.
Could they get gumptious with you? Could they get a little lippy? Like where's my cream corn?
Oh my God! Like yes, I want my four prunes immediately for breakfast.
I'm so sorry, old people. We are not trying to make fun of you. They had to have
a certain number of prunes, and then this one had to have oatmeal. I got burned one day and got sent away.
By the oatmeal?
By the oatmeal.
It was that hot? Nobody should be serving old people super hot oatmeal.
Dude, it scalded my hand and gave me blisters. I had to go to the hospital.
Well, what does it do to the inside of the old people's mouth? They, you know, with the dentures and there's not really teeth there. That's probably
I could be
dangerous.
I think by the time I drop it off, it should be, you know, the right temperature.
Nice. So where'd you go after that?
I waited tables at different restaurants and bars, and I became a food runner at this really, really giant reggae restaurant that had like floating bar docks. And I would walk with a tray of like 10 plates over my head as a power lifter, and I'd have to like shimmy through the floating bar dock. So I'm carrying a tray. Like I'm only 5 foot.
Five two.
So I gotta like hold the tray up over my head like so high that I don't hit anybody in the head with the tray. So if you're 6'5", you're catching the tray right between the eyes.
Yeah, that seems like a terrible idea.
Well, it would happen all the time. I would bing somebody in the back of the head because I'm just.
Wasn't. But luckily, you're strong enough to actually fucking.
Yeah, sometimes. Shit up there. Oh, I've hit someone in the head one time so bad, and the tray kept going backwards, and I kept trying to catch it. It was bad.
Did you stop it?
No, that one hit the ground.
That one hit the ground.
Yeah, they sent me home that night.
Yeah. Well, at least it didn't land on a baby's head.
No.
I spilled a margarita on a baby's head once.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was nice.
Did that baby drunk?
I mean, I don't know if it got drunk. It was, you know, I think they wiped it up pretty quick, but its head was still a little soft.
So oh my God, dude, it's so bad.
I mean, it just wasn't that much, just a little bit.
Oh my God.
Baby's an alcoholic, no, but it was my fault.
One of my favorite restaurants I worked at was Marie Livingston's in Tallahassee. And it was a special mom and pop steakhouse that had been there forever.
Is it still there?
Oh, yeah. They've got two locations now. Marie Livingston's in Tallahassee.
In Tallahassee.
Oh, it's so good. They have a special sauce on their steak. And it's an amazing steakhouse. But Marie ruled with an iron fist. And her two daughters, Sonia and her other daughter.
Don't remember. It's okay. Other daughter.
They're both hot. Both of Marie's daughters are smoke shows. They're both very hot.
They're probably running the restaurant, though.
Susie, I think. Right. Susie and Sonia, I think.
Was that like 20 years ago?
They're probably still hot.
Probably still hot.
I'm almost 9,900% positive that they're still hot.
Going, what was the address?
Marie Livingston's. But this, it's the best steak you'll ever eat. And they serve butter, honey butter with their bread.
Oh, yeah.
It's like candy. It's like you're giving me dessert as a side right now. It's so good.
I do love a good butter. Well, you know a good restaurant if the butter is like spot on. Like
they make their butter from scratch themselves.
And you know what? And I don't want the olive oil with like the crushed herbs crap in it. No, you are cheating.
They give you honey butter.
Make me a delicious butter that is just like, whether it's an herb butter or a honey butter, but something.
It's so good. And you dip it inside their steak sauce, which is really like this salty marinade that's a special like custom sauce that no one knows, secret recipe sauce. It's amazing. It comes all over every steak.
So you can't tell me what it tastes like?
It's salty. It's
but not too salty because it's...
No, but it's so good, man. And they'll serve you that with like a sweet potato. I'm really hungry now. Damn it.
It happens. We'll switch gears.
All right.
So let's talk about food on independent film sets because you spent 3 months in the woods making a movie one time with a whole bunch of actors called American Paradise.
Oh God, it was awful.
Which is on Tubi TV, I believe, at the current moment.
Only you would know that. You're my distributor.
So. You spent 3 months in the woods basically by yourself with a camera, right? And you didn't pay the actors anything or anything like that, right?
I mean, I didn't get paid. What are you talking about?
No, but you had to eat while you're in the middle of the woods. Did you guys do? You couldn't have pizzas delivered out there, or did you?
So I kind of went poor buying like sausages because like down the street from us with this place called Bradley's, it was a store. And we filmed the opening scene of the movie at Bradley's. So we would always stop at Bradley's on the way. I think it's Bradley's Pond. Bradley's Pond, and they had a butcher right there. So that walk of like the pig's last walk before it hit the butcher that we did in the intro, I shouldn't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I know.
You remember that?
Yeah, I know.
And there was like a dying pig squeal. That was my voice.
Little known fact should be on IMDb that the pig squeal is actually Blake Feldman's voice, the director's voice. Yeah. That pig is probably bacon now.
Oh.
No.
It was made into sausage, I'm sure, that somebody ate.
Or sausage. And ham.
They do a lot of...
Maybe a good barbecue pork, too.
They make sausage links there. Yeah. Oh, they do that, too. You're right. They do that.
So you didn't eat that bad in the woods, then, if you're, you know...
No, we didn't eat bad, but we didn't eat often.
Oh.
So it's kind of like filmmaker Auschwitz. You got to understand, like, my key grip and my boom operator and my camera guy are all the same person.
You.
No, I had a guy.
Oh.
I would say, go home for picture, lock it up. And he was my shadow. He would repeat what I said. Go home for picture, lock it up.
Wait, there was an actual person? Or are we talking about your actual shadow?
No, we're talking about Wiley.
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 Wiley. Wiley guy.
He kind of looked like Andre, not Andre 3000. Yeah.
Is he in the movie too?
Yeah, he is in the movie.
Who is he in the movie? Where is he in the movie?
He's in the corner. He's in the corner store when I have my cameo.
Okay, so very beginning of the movie, if you go watch American Paradise on Tubi TV, which is also where Beyond the Check streams.
When I have my cameo at the beginning.
Nice. So, fun fact about your lineage. You are what people would refer to as an Italian Jew?
I'm a pizza bagel.
You're a pizza bagel.
I'm a pizza bagel.
You're a pizza bagel.
Let's get specific.
So who, your father's Italian or your father's Jewish?
Allegedly.
Allegedly Italian. Your mother was Jewish.
Both of them are Jewish, but allegedly my grandfather came out of some sort of non-wedlock affair because... Everyone else is like fair skinned, you know, and light eyed. And here comes my grandfather, like looking like black when he comes out, basically almost. He's like the most olive skinned in my family.
So, I guess what I'm getting to, we'll figure this out through food. What were you eating in the house? Did your parents cook? Did your mother cook before? I know that's hard to remember.
My mom died when I was 4.
Right.
I'm sure she did cook. I don't remember any of it. But my dad. my dad couldn't cook worth a shit when I was really little.
So we're not going to figure this out through food.
No. But my dad started getting good at cooking.
What about your grandparents?
Hold on. My dad got good at cooking eventually. What he did was he called his grandmother and his mother, and he learned how to make chicken and dumplings, which he would drop off the wooden spoon.
Homemade dumplings?
Homemade dumplings from scratch.
All right. That's very Americana of him. That's not helping me solve the mystery, but it's cool.
But the things we made the most of, let's see. My wife was a good cook.
She was a good cook. She was definitely an Italian cook. Mm-hmm. Miss you, Kat. Love you, wherever you are. Maybe she's bones.
No, don't say that.
I meant the dog.
Oh. That was bad on so many levels. I didn't even catch that.
Or, you know.
My wife passed away in 2000. And
I used to 15. Cook with her. We cooked together a lot. We made a mess of the kitchen together well.
You guys were really good at messing my kitchen up.
Yeah, Blake is a little OCD when it comes to cleaning. So he likes things very clean. If he, I keep telling him we should start a cleaning service because it just...
Oh, definitely not.
Hashtag crush. You just call it OCD cleaning. Fucking spotless, son.
I'm called Blake DD.
Blake D, what was one of the your favorite things she used to make?
One of my favorite things Kat made. Yeah. She made the most amazing macaroons from scratch with duck butter.
Holy fucking shit, I forgot about that.
Remember that?
Yeah, macaroons are so hard to make too.
And she made them and they were so amazing. They were perfect.
Yeah, that was I think that's the first time I ever actually had a macaroon was Kat's homemade macaroons.
And they put everything at the restaurant to shame.
And then we went to a store and had some, and they're all right, but...
Yeah, but cats are way better.
So hard to make.
Yeah.
I'm not a baker, but...
That's got to be probably the hardest thing to make.
I mean, it's one of them. Soufflés, only... Which I don't get. There's always like the huge test on TV, right? And all the food chefs, it's this fucking soufflé, man. If you don't
it's all about it timing, up. Dude. It's all timing. Like, your timing has to be perfect. Like, you cannot be off a couple seconds.
And then you can't bump it. You can't. You don't want it to collapse. Right.
Right.
And you have to eat it right away. So they can't just sit around or it's going to. I mean, I don't know. Timing. The damn souffle is apparently like the gold cornerstone of everything.
Timing.
I think maybe it's a green bean.
Oh, God.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because green beans, vegetables in general, shouldn't be completely cooked through, right?
Right.
It's like, but all green beans, like anything, you know. Traditional canned green bean, people just cook the green beans until they're mush, right?
I hate that.
I want crunch, like crunchy. Crunch at me least too. Halfway, you know, just half cooked because it needs to have, that's where the flavor is, that's where the nutrients are, that's where the
and it sounds good,
that's where the texture is, right? And you
it feels good.
Everyone just murders the green bean, like it's so sad.
Yeah, we should make a new book,
particularly Southern.
Who right? murdered the green bean?
Who murdered the green bean? Right, like. Who like baby food? Like I'm an adult. I don't need my green beans to be the consistency of baby food out of a can.
Yeah, we didn't like, ask for just, mush. If I wanted, what do they call it when they mush your food when you can't chew?
I really like Who Murdered the Green Bean. That's a fantastic title.
Who Murdered the Green Bean? I love it. What a great cookbook. See, like when you and I hang out, it's always we're the idea men. We're like, we're not really gonna do that, but it's a great idea. But who can we find? Title. Who can we find to do that? Someone.
Josh will research it because he has a little thing that he wants to do where he does food history, right? So, like, that's perfect for Josh's food history. You hear this, Joshua Hawks?
Who murdered the green bean?
Who murdered the green bean? I want to know. I want to know why we can't just have them can me some fucking just whole green beans that just sat in, like, you know, a flavorful, like, brine, you know? They'll pickle a little. I'm cool with that. You ain't got to ruin them. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Who murdered the green bean? So
many scenes of green beans.
What about corn? Corn's very sad. This corn's a sad story too. Corn used to be healthy.
Corn is table porn.
All right, fuck it. Let's do it. one of Blake's favorite movies and a movie that scares me to death that I really need to watch on a rolling basis. And I think everybody should probably watch on a rolling basis, which literally is just a nightmare. In a food documentary.
Oh, God. You're going to go there?
Yeah, let's just do it.
All right.
What's the name of the movie, Blake?
What the Health.
What the Health, man.
What the Health.
So, I watched half of it before he got here. And he'd watched it, and I'd watched another documentary, and now I'm just super scared of, like, everything
that one has egg, food in it. One egg is five cigarettes. One five egg.
Okay, so my favorite part of that movie is literally when they say that the chicken is basically the equivalent of plutonium.
It's true, though.
The carcinogenic effects of, like, eating a hot dog is equal to, like, being around plutonium.
Plutonium. What else did they say? It's like something else too.
Plutonium, asbestos.
Asbestos. That's the one that got me. It's just as bad as it's a class one carcinogen, equivalent to plutonium, asbestos,
cigarettes. Cigarettes. Yeah.
But how the, what the who?
So was it all, okay? So I was a little confused on the movie. Maybe you can clarify. Was it all chicken, or just the modified chickens that were injecting with all the junk?
They were saying that all chicken out there.
So even like a lot, all meat, even like a wild bird.
All chicken out there is injected with this salt water.
Right. So right? So it is the modified chickens. If I had a real chicken off the farm, though,
still full of sodium. You know what? So this is how they explain it. They explain it like this.
What if I shoot a quail in the wild?
So I'm going to put it to you this way.
Okay.
We need to eat what comes out of the ground, really, right? And so yes. What we're eating is we're eating this animal that ate the thing that came out of the ground.
Yes.
But we needed the nutrients before it got to the animal.
Right.
Do you see like the...
It's like eating poop.
Yeah, I mean, but
we're eating the byproduct of the nutrients, right. And that byproduct is the animal.
We're eating the byproduct of the nutrients, but we need the nutrients, really. That's the part. And when you look at what they do, which is crazy, they show you the length of the human intestines. And the human intestines is the equivalent to like what a length of like an elephant intestines or rhinoceros intestines are. Do we know what they ate?
They ate vegetables.
Right. Well, and you know how much vegetables they ate? A lot.
Probably, a fuck ton. A lot. I mean, they're huge.
Huge. Like, we should be eating a ton more food, but all vegetables, and you would get the same nutrients you need to get, and your body wouldn't fucking...
Well, like, weightlifters, they're eating a full, like, okay, or swimmers, right? Swimmers
go back to Spartans. You know that Spartans were all vegetarian?
No.
They pulled the Spartans up out of the ground, and they did bone crosscuts. And they found out that they were 80 to 90% barley eaters.
Really? So carbs.
They were eating
carbs.
They were eating barley off the stalk.
And straight up.
And then what they found out was that the density of the bones of someone that was a gladiator was 2 to 4 times as dense as a normal human being. 2 to 4 times as dense because they ate so much barley.
Right. Did you see the movie where they talked about the fertility of men? The vitality of men. There's another documentary, the other documentary I watched about, they did these dick tests, right? So they literally put, they put sensors around the penis and fed them a meat dish for dinner.
I saw that.
And then they fed them the vegetarian dish to see how long their erections would appear and how hard they were
right.
at night, right?
I saw that.
And these were football players. Meat-eating football players.
Yeah.
And that, I'm pretty sure... made them vegetarians for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, they all saw the difference between the amount of erections they had in the night and the hardness of erections, and it was like 800% different.
Right, just from eating the vegetarian
for 2 days.
No, I think it was just the night of sleep. Right, so the night before.
God, that's so crazy.
So it wasn't even that. Long period of time. It was literally. It works. Your metabolism works that fast that if you are going to eat this, you are going to be affected within a very short time frame by it. Right.
That alone right there should make any man want to not eat meat again.
And this is a total reverse perception of what, you know, like you wouldn't have thought this, what, 3 years ago?
I still don't know that I'm going to stop eating meat. I love meat so much, but that's why God made Cialis.
It's a portion thing. I don't think God made Cialis.
Whoever did, they're a God to me.
I think Big Pharma made Cialis.
Thank you.
That's not an excuse to just keep eating meat. Like. Though I have to say that I think it's moderation, right? Like Chinese traditionally, you know, not a lot of meat, but just enough to flavor it, right? Like your plate should be 70% vegetables, 30% maybe meat or a substitute protein. Right.
Right. Like some greens.
Well, no, like, so, like, your chicken should be, like, a nugget. A nugget. The rest of your plate should be, like, vegetables.
I think, like, if I'm eating a chicken and it's a nugget, it's processed then, right?
I'm saying the quantity.
Oh, like, the weight.
Like, a very small amount of meat.
Right.
You know, well, so like ramen, right, is, you know, there's meat in the sauce, right? There's fish, you know, stuff in the sauce. There's, you know, but in the broth, I mean. But the actual contents of the meat is mostly vegetables and then just like a little bit of, you know, like pork or fish or, you know, something.
Have you seen the intestinal length differences between a meat-eating animal?
What is, yeah, they're short, right? Like a, so, like a tiger or a lion has a very short intestinal tract.
So tiger or lion intestinal tract is a fraction of what ours is. Fraction.
Because
they eat raw meat. But also, if you put a bone in a tiger's mouth, no bone's going to come out of it. Because it's so much more acidic than ours.
Yeah, the stomach is processing everything before it even gets through the tract.
Their stomach
our tract does a lot of the nutrient intake,
We don't have the acidity that they have.
Right, but our actual intestine tract is where the nutrients are actually absorbed into our body. It's not our stomach. Our stomach processes it down to get into the intestines, and then we process the nutrients out from there.
Imagine if your stomach and your midst of your stomach could digest what you're eating.
That's why it takes so long, because it's moving slowly through, and vegetables are harder to get the nutrients out of.
Are they?
I don't know that they're harder to get out of, but like
I think they're more.
But like our body processes stuff slower, so that's the whole.
You know, I used to do a lot of bodybuilding and a lot of dieting, and now my thought process is completely different of how it used to be. Personally, I feel like we need to eat stuff in the state it was in the ground.
Raw.
Like a potato or green bean.
Yeah. I'm not eating a potato raw. But the green bean, I'm for.
I mean, heat it up a little bit, but you got the skin's raw.
Oh, no. Some of the best, like, you have to have garden vegetables. You have to go to a farm that is all, you know, using manure and whatever. Walk out on that farm. Go pick a fucking snow pea off of the vine. Pick some corn off the vine, right? That sweet white corn just right off the stalk.
Corn has
so zero, right? But it's sweet. It's delicious. You don't need to cook it at all. Right, like it's just good the way it is. The snap pea is sweet and delicious, just the way it is.
Corn has no nutritional value.
Zero. It used to.
It's so good though, but it's got zero use for you.
No, but you know it used to have nutritional value.
When?
Before we destroyed it and GMO'd it. So, like the Indians' corn, the corn that you'll see for like Thanksgiving and stuff, just the decorative corn.
I want corn now.
That corn was originally very healthy for you. Purple corn, mm-hmm. You know, like that actually had nutritional value.
How about Boca Burgers?
Existed, and we just thinned it out until it was gone.
Think those Boca Burgers in your freezer are good?
I think I really enjoy vegetarian junk food. Because if you're you have to start somewhere, and it's difficult for you're all right, a wrestler in high school. Right, you were a wrestler in high school. What would it take to get you as a wrestler in high school to become a vegetarian when you've, say, been eating, you know, just what every other teenager, teenager eats?
I used to eat cans of tuna fish, and that was it. Like, I would eat a whole can of tuna fish with water.
Yeah, but you're also a wrestler and a health nut. The sports people are different.
I did that often.
But what if I told you can't eat that tuna? And now you need to find a different protein. What would you do?
I don't know what I would do. Maybe that's why I got the build. Like, actually, all I did was live off of cans of tuna fish in high school.
Your girlfriends loved you.
Oh, I mean, I love tuna.
I still to this day, you know what I do? When I go to work, I pack basically a kid's lunch, but I make tuna sandwiches, you know, the chunk white, solid white, but I chop up carrots, like the shaved carrots.
So good.
And I put it into my tuna too, so I don't have to eat the carrots on the side. Plus, it fills out the sandwich a little bit more.
Do you ever make ants on a log?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not recently.
You know what ants on a log is?
Yeah, raisins on peanut butter on celery.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I love ants on a log.
I wonder, that's an American, I wonder where, okay, Josh.
Ants on a log.
I want the history of ants on a log.
Yeah, I want the history of ants on a log too, because it's so tasty.
But that had to come from somewhere.
Peanut butter.
Like, who was the first? Is it an American thing, or is it like celery? Where's celery from? We have a lot of questions without answers here.
Yeah, ants on a log. I need to know where that came from. And if you're allergic to peanut butter, I'll tell you an ants on a log trick. You use cream cheese, and then you put the ants on a log, which is the raisins.
Can you Nutella?
Well, that's a really good idea.
That's two because Nutella is not actually. Oh, it's hazelnut, right?
That's yeah. I guess you could do that.
Because if it's a peanut allergy, but if it's a general nut allergy, not so much.
I would say use cream cheese with raisins. And sometimes you can use cream cheese and then put a channel of jelly in the middle. What?
I mean, that sounds good. That actually sounds good. Yeah. I also want to replace the fucking raisins with chocolate chips, but.
But my point is, if you get the squeegee jelly, you know the squeeze bottle one?
Mm-hmm.
You can lay a perfect little stream down the middle. Oh, jelly. Jelly filled cream cheese celery stick.
Healthy and dessert at the same time.
What if you could skin wrap the celery with something crunchy and then inject it with cream cheese and jelly down the middle? You put a jelly tube there first.
What are you going to wrap it in? Candied bacon? Because it sounds good, but we're not supposed to have meat.
There's oh, I see where you're going with it. I love candied bacon.
Yeah, but like that would be actually really good.
What would be really good is if you wrapped it in American cheese. You just dipped it in cheese and let it cool. So it had like a cheese coating.
Let it cool or then fry it immediately. Really fast.
Frying anything is amazing.
Well, because then the cheese would tighten and like go hard around it.
What if you pulled it? What if you cake battered it and fried it?
I mean, I think we've gone off the charts here. I think we're in uncharted territory.
Can we write this down?
I don't even know what flavor this would make. This could be a total disgusting disaster.
No. Listen, we're talking about frying in cake batter celery with cream cheese in the middle. Homeless sigh. I am homeless. I'm in your guest room.
If there's a thing that people like to do, it's fry things. But now there's a whole, you know, since we're talking about the healthier side of issues, air frying.
I've tried your ninja. What up, ninja?
What up, ninja? You can't. Yeah. I mean, it's good for some. You can't do like fried chicken.
My nickel. You know? My nickel. Dime, please.
5 cents. You can't do like fried. You can't do battered things. You know, like they need to be pre-battered, frozen, fucking like, you know, like that's the only problem with the air fryer is that you can't.
You can't batter.
You can't fry anything. Batter fry. Right?
So can we do funnel cakes?
No, because it's batter frying.
Damn it.
You know, it has to go into a liquid. Can
we do an elephant ear?
Right? No. Maybe. How do you make an elephant ear?
Same way you make funnel cake, but it's just a giant sheet.
Oh, then no.
Why?
Not in an air fryer. Because it still needs the liquid to form.
Oh, but okay, pour the batter or whatever.
Right. But if you made a dough, you could dough for, I don't know, you know. That's the problem with the future is that you have all these new cool things, you know, and they're seemingly better, but also just not the same, right? So there's just they have shortcomings, right? And so we have to get past the shortcomings of new stuff.
It's like the soda water,
like Impossible Meat. There's a flavor that's just weird, you know. It's just not right.
And like, it's not meat.
No, I would rather eat a black bean burger, a tofu burger, any type of like traditional vegetarian burger. Over the fake meat because...
No, the impossible meat is really peas. You know that, right?
I don't care what it is. It needs to get rid of whatever that back taste is. Like, that back taste flavor is just... It doesn't allow... It allows you to eat a burger like a burger.
You mean beyond meat? Is that
what
you
Beyond or impossible. Either one.
I've never heard of impossible, but I've heard of beyond meat.
No, impossible is what's in Burger King. So Burger King has the impossible burger, right? And still, you think that the ingredients of a Whopper could cover up the flavor of the meat, the fake meat.
It can't.
With the mayonnaise and the ketchup and the lettuce and the onion and the pickle.
My cousin loves this.
And, you know, it's you want it to. And if I had never eaten a Whopper, a real Whopper in my entire life, I might enjoy it. But because I have the reference point, I can't. It's just wrong. And I don't like it. And I want to like it so bad, but I don't. And it's the aftertaste.
It lingers. Yeah. It definitely lingers.
Because they're so close.
Why you got to linger?
Do you have to let it linger? Impossible.
Impossible.
But they're doing, you know, I'm looking so forward to, you know, how Singapore is doing the test trial on the grown chicken breasts. Right?
What? Are they growing chicken breasts on someone's forehead?
No, they basically culture the
breast only.
No, they culture like the cells of a chicken and just grow and just grow the breast, right?
I don't know about that.
And so, no, it tastes just like chicken. David Chang, I've talked about it several times on multiple podcasts. So I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but yeah, it tastes just like chicken. David Chang did it on his new show. He went and tried it in Singapore because the only place you can have it is in Singapore right now. And because the FDA has to approve it in America and all the other countries. So that's the test subject is Singaporeans. But so far, it tastes just like chicken. You don't have to kill anything for it. I don't know that if it's carcinogenic or not, right? So that's going to be a question, right? So if we can't eat any type of meat, if meat itself just naturally
is carcinogenic,
then even when we do get to growing our steaks and our fillets, you know, in the replicator, right? In the fucking replicator, where it's like, give me a fillet. Is that going to be carcinogenic? I don't know.
It's so weird. They're just growing that muscle.
Yeah, you just grow the muscle. And it tastes fucking delicious.
Like chicken. What a good idea. So that's not an animal, right?
No. No, it never had a brain. It was never born. It's just cell cultures grown into
that's the crazy. Muscle. That's right? Crazy.
Yeah. But delicious, too. It tastes just perfect, right? But unlike the Beyond stuff where we're trying to turn vegetable proteins into... and the hamburger. when if really we just never had hamburger, like if we were just all born without eating meat, if we were all just born vegetarian, we would never even care, right? Like
this is so nuts.
We were just like, I love you animals. I was born into like just loving animals, not eating them. And I eat these things that we grow and I would love whatever I grew up on because that's how your taste buds work. You know, this is what you're raised on. That's what you're going to like. That's your home. It's your home base for your food. Right? That's your comfort. It doesn't matter. You can't be born in Italy and then somehow like have mashed potatoes be your comfort food because it's just...
But pasta.
But the pasta is going to be your comfort food. So if you're born into a vegetarian lifestyle, vegetarian food is going to be your comfort food, what you crave and what you want, right? And it's really how we're raised.
I always want bagels.
So we just need to raise our children better so the next generations...
Have you realized that I eat a ton of bagels?
Yeah, because you're Jewish, because you're a pizza Jew or whatever you said.
Pizza bagel.
You're a pizza bagel.
Tonight I'll eat.
I mean, who doesn't love bagels? They're delicious.
And I'll eat your leftover pizza tonight.
It's in there. We also have some Sloppy Joes to finish, which
Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe.
I was gonna smoke a pack of cigarettes, but instead I'm gonna have a Sloppy Joe. Because that's a thing, apparently. I was going to have eggs for breakfast, but instead I decided to smoke an entire carton of fucking Cuban cigars. You know, and hang out next to Chernobyl.
Yeah, one egg is equivalent to 5 cigarettes. I will repeat, one egg equals 5 cigarettes. I'm still eating eggs.
So what you're saying is Aunt Gladys, after smoking her carton of cigarettes back in the 80s and eating an entire plate...
of eggs.
Of deviled eggs.
Cigarettes, basically.
Right, so you ate a whole plate of deviled eggs, you smoked a carton of cigarettes, you basically just smoked 2 cartons of cigarettes.
Or 3.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But that's real, right? Like, the way that the world is working now.
It's been working like this. You know, listen, the companies that
put... No, we're telling the truth. Finally. Like, we're finally... The truth is being told through documentaries, through like...
And then those people are killed constantly.
Yes, they are.
I mean, like, people are making movies and they're getting murdered and they're like, this person hung themselves in a hotel.
Well, you know who doesn't have, you know who?
Do you realize that? We're like, we know that they didn't commit suicide, okay? So just tell us real quick, what really happened to Anthony Bourdain, you motherfuckers?
I think Putin killed him, but other people think that pedophiles killed him, so.
Listen.
Either way, that son of a bitch did not kill himself sober.
No, he didn't do this.
He would have done it drunk. If he was drunk, I would firmly believe that Anthony Bourdain killed himself, but like
I'm not gonna hear
he was 100% sober, so there's no
I'm way. Just gonna say that a lot of famous people have been dying, and it really questions like, did they really die or did they get easy eed?
A lot of people got hung in the same year, or sorry, hung themselves in one year. A lot of people, Kate Spade, Bourdain, Robin Williams, and you know, the list goes on. And you know, I mean, is it just a fad? Like, is a bunch of famous people just fadding it? Like, you know, like Heathers, they're like, oh, suicide's cool, right? Like, let's all, we're all gonna hang ourselves. Epstein, right? Like, come on. Everyone's choice is hanging themselves. You know how hard it is to hang yourself sober? Sober, right? Like, drunk, I get you fucked up. Like, it's easy to go drunk. Like, you don't know what you're doing half the time anyway.
We know someone that did that.
But sober doesn't make any fucking sense to me at all. So,
if you're blunt, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't get it. I've never wanted to kill myself sober. Waking up hungover? Yeah, sure. Many, many a time. I've been like, I just want to die. Like, there's no way that I should feel this bad. But I poisoned myself. But even alcohol, right? Like, mainstream media saying don't drink, right? Like, mainstream, like Netflix, like
all, you wake up and you're like, this is why you told me not to drink. I hate all of you.
Yeah. And then, it's just,
Why did you do this to me?
And it's funny because, like, you made a lot of money getting people drunk. I've made a lot of money getting people drunk because I was a bartender.
I still make a lot of money getting people drunk.
And, you know, that's what they want. That's what they want. They want to just get drunk. They want to have fun. They want to forget about their fucking lives. They want to spend the money that they don't have. And
look, people love to, like, escape reality. They love to escape reality and find a fantasy in the bottle.
So do you think that's why poor people will spend their money faster than rich people? Because rich people are happier with their lives, so they're not trying to drown it.
No, rich people are less happy with their lives. They're more depressed and fucked up in the head than poor people. Poor people actually have a reason to live for.
Well, they have fun, I guess.
Who does?
Rich, poor people. They have fun. I mean, when they do care, they care a lot, right?
Like, the thing is, like, they're,
because we know what it's like to have compassion. Poor people are compassionate people generally, and I guess when you have money, you can become a little
pretentious
and not care about other people.
I'm sure that, yeah.
Because you don't know what it's like to suffer.
Yeah. And then you go homeless and you live in a storage unit.
And you come back to reality.
And you come back to reality and your friend lets you stay in his guest room. And you're sitting here doing a podcast with your buddy that, like, used to live with you. But now you live with him. And have I mentioned my nickname in this relationship is Dupree? Have you seen that movie, You, Me, and Dupree?
How long? Was it, like, 7 years ago?
I'm Dupree.
You're Dupree?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing all right.
All
right. I mean, we are making a movie about this gentleman's life at some point, and it is, I don't want to talk about it. That's not what we're doing on this podcast, but there'll be more Blake Feldman. You can get the full story. But it hasn't been the smoothest ride.
No, it has not been the smoothest ride.
It hasn't been the worst ride.
I must have done something really fucked up in my past life. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm paying for it now.
I mean, it all works out. You definitely, life is a roller coaster, and you just happen to be on that roller coaster. So,
I didn't want to sign up for this ride. Give me the next one.
So, this is totally off topic, but you ever listen to any channelers or channeling? You ever listen to, like, people, like, channel, like,
I mean,
aliens or, like,
so I've had a couple awakenings when I did some DMT.
So yes, the answer was yes.
Yes, I have broken on through to the other side.
So I have this great thing that I think we need to go listen to later, and I think you all need to listen to, is this man named Steve Carroll, who's been channeling an entity called Cryon of Magnetic Service for, like, I don't know, 30 years or something. You can literally go listen to, like, all of these, like...
Say this again? No, what's his name?
Cryon.
Cryon.
Lee Carroll channels Cryon. And anyway, so for 30 years, he's been channeling this entity from beyond the veil, right? Which is, the veil is between here on Earth
and there.
And, you know, home.
Wherever that is.
Home. I refer to it as home. And you can go back and listen to this shit from, like, the 80s, all the way from, like, from 1987 during the harmonic convergence all the way till now. And he's still out there doing these things. And I think after this, we're going to go check out some Cryon.
I'm down to check out some Cryon. We're taking a trip from the couch.
Yeah. And maybe we'll eat some food too, because you look really hungry.
I'm very hungry after talking about all this food. Yeah.
So check. I don't know. I dig it. That's what I listen to when I like walk the dogs and meditate. I just listen to some like.
Have you seen the show on YouTube? Stuff. It's called Tales from the Trip.
No, what is that?
Oh my God! I got to show you this. Tales from the Trip.
Tell me what is. Tales I from imagine the trip. It's just tales from people tripping.
But it's famous.
Is it people just falling on their faces?
it's famous comedians telling you about the first time they experienced a rare substance of whatever kind that they had taken. Like there's one comedian talking about their trip of when they had mushrooms.
Oh, that sounds hilarious.
And then another one is like them talking about when they shouldn't have done DMT and their parents came home.
Well, I mean, they only had 15. They had 15 minutes to get their shit together, and they were fine.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, but there's a couple other trips about when this one comedian took this other comedian on a trip from the couch, and they thought they were really on their way back, but they never made it back yet.
I once tripped and thought I was on the couch, got up, went downstairs, out the door, and kept ending up back on the couch.
Because you never left the couch to begin with.
Right, but I thought I did.
Right.
But I didn't. Or maybe I did, and I just kept ending up back up there. I don't know. Shit was weird.
This is like when Mike Tyson talks about licking the toad.
Nobody is going to want to be on my podcast after this episode.
What? What?
I'm just kidding. You're all going to want to be on this podcast after this episode. We're licking toads.
Sorry.
You know, I think I saw that though. Where he licked the toad and then like fucking told about it.
Right? Well, he talks about this very, very humanizing experience. Mike Tyson does. He talks about how it, your ego is just stripped down from you.
Did he like become one with the toad?
I mean, it was very, to hear Mike Tyson talk about this meant a lot to me. Personally,
I dig Mike now. Like he was a little crazy when he did the ear biting, but I think he's come back to earth.
I love him. I think he's great. I think he's fantastic, man. Like
he takes better care of the Tigers than Carole Baskin.
Listen, he's a humbled man for being the greatest in the world as a boxer. Like he is a very humbled and awesome being. But he talks about how humanizing, like how like it strips your ego down, and then like you really see what is valuable in life, and it's not what you thought it was, right? And it was a very humbling experience for him to go through.
Yeah, and it took him, what, like 55 years to get there?
No, he's been there for a while, man. He's got a different perspective on life now, I think, for sure, from someone that he's been the world's greatest.
I mean, for a very long time. He literally could knock out any person on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody.
Yes.
There's nobody on this planet that Mike Tyson hits you and you don't get knocked out. Nobody.
Oh man. That's nobody. Why he's Iron Mike. He would just crush somebody. But thing is that he's not that guy anymore.
No, he's like, I dig Mike Tyson nowadays. Like,
yeah. He's very humbled and he's an awesome person. I mean, like if you watch the videos, he talks about stuff. But he's there with Eminem actually in one of these talks where him and Eminem are like, he was one of Eminem's biggest heroes, wanting to be a rapper, watching Mike Tyson conquer the boxing world. And Eminem was like starstruck when he got to meet Mike Tyson. It was pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, it's like meeting a white tiger in real life.
Yeah, it's like meeting your hero. And then Mike Tyson giving him that same respect back. It was like, oh, dude, they're both stand up equivalent admiral dudes to each other. They both respect each other that much. And they're both on top of their game, hands down on top of their game.
Is it just me or does he seem to talk different now too?
He definitely, Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Definitely talks different now.
Yeah, he doesn't sound as like.
He's not so amped up. He's got more control on life, I think. You know what I mean? Like he has a great understanding, I think, of what, I guess before he just had a different perspective. Like he describes it in that podcast that, you know, he didn't look at people the same when he walked in the ring with you. He was going to kill you. You know, he didn't. It was a different perspective. It wasn't about if or what if you. No,
he still bit Holyfield's ear.
It didn't matter.
Like,
but then
like,
it was a different time for him.
Yeah, but what the hell? Like, I mean, that had to have been like the point where it changed, though. I think that was the shift.
You know, you just got to watch an interview. He talks about all this stuff.
Yeah, I watched part of it. Go check. Mike's cool now. He's a reborn soul, not in like the weird Christian way.
So, who is your favorite actor today? You think?
Oh,
Do you have a favorite?
No, I don't think. I mean, okay. I mean, a person I super respect is Jason Bateman. And I think it's because I grew up with him. And I got to watch him disappear and come back. And now he's more famous than he ever could have been. And he was a child actor who like made it through all of that and still just ended up this really cool, just like working actor.
What is the last thing Jason Bateman did?
Season four of Outer Banks comes out.
Of it's Outer in. Banks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Directs, produces, and acts in it.
Probably my favorite actor right now is Miles Teller, for sure.
I mean, I know Miles.
Me too. I think Miles is.
But what's Miles been in lately?
What do you mean, dude? I mean, he more recently than Divergent.
Oh, was he in Divergent?
He was in Divergent. The whole trilogy.
Like, I haven't watched
Divergent. He's in Divergent.
The last thing I saw Miles in was the
Fantastic Four.
Was the drummer movie?
Whiplash.
That was fucking great. Was he nominated? No, he hashtag crushed it in that.
Yeah, nominated for Oscar, right?
I think maybe he was.
Yeah, did he win?
I don't think so.
He should have.
I mean, bullshit. Yeah, I mean, that was nuts. Yeah.
I think he should have won that Oscar. I was so pissed when I saw that.
It was way better than I ever thought that movie was going to be. Like, it was so good. Like,
yeah, but really was. How about the movie he did as a boxer that broke his neck?
I haven't seen that. I haven't kept up with his career. Maybe, well, we'll go watch some Miles Teller shit after this, too.
You know my favorite Miles Teller movie is? Yeah. War Dogs with Jonah Hill.
Seeing War Dogs?
Have you not seen War Dogs?
I've seen War Dogs.
Right, where they're gun runners?
Yeah, they're gun runners. Oh. Okay, he was. Yeah.
He was the other lead actor in it. He was great. He was hands down the best in there, in that whole movie.
Miles, hit us up, son. So, what do you want to go eat? Sloppy Joe's?
Sloppy Joe's.
All right, well, hey, thanks for moving in.
Thanks for letting me be the dude on the couch.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm your Dupree.
Yeah. I'm getting your dog skinny.
Hey, my dog is fat, for the record. Rashawn's been working her out.
We're working on it. Which is funny, because he's the health nut.
And my dog's fat. Thanks, cousin Mindy.
Bones is helping. He works her out, too.
That sounds so bad.
Not in that way. She's too old for him.
She's spayed.
She's
falling asleep.
She's 13. He's 4. He's, I don't know. Yeah.
He's falling asleep looking at you right now.
Yes. Anyway. Cool. Go watch Blake's movie, American Paradise, on Tubi TV. And if you haven't, go watch my TV show about worker-owned restaurants. They are the salt of the earth, just cooking up for locals. They're fantastic. They're amazing, every single one of them.
I'm going to throw this out there real quick. Scotty Dickert, lead actor of American Paradise, is now in Venom, the movie. And so is Rob Kellner, who is Miles Teller's best friend, is the other lead actor of American Paradise.
Hey. You want to go see where they got it all started?
Yeah.
Mr. Blake Feldman.
Rob Kellner, Miles Teller's best friend, is the lead actor of American Paradise. Fig is his name in the movie. And Scotty plays Weber, the stoner. Are you surprised?
I'm not going to give away the end of the movie.
But Rich Dye might.
Shout out to Rich Dye. Let's go eat some food. Ladies and gentlemen.
I need...
Blake Feldman, and
da-da-da.
Go watch my show. Cheers.